Chapter 47. By 9 p.m., the Odyssey had backtracked some 300 miles and was now approaching the designated launch position calibrated in Incheon. Tongju, catching up on some lost sleep in Captain Hennessy's cabin, was startled awake by a rapid pounding at the door. An armed commando entered the room and bowed as Tongju sat up and began pulling on his boots.
"So sorry to intrude," the commando said apologetically. "It's Captain Lee. He has requested that you return to the Koguryo at once. There is some sort of dispute with the Russian launch engineers."
Tongju nodded, then shook off the cobwebs and made his way to the pilot house, where he verified that the platform was still cruising north-northeast at 12 knots. Radioing for the Koguryo's tender, he made his way down the long flight of stairs on the forward piling and hopped into the idling boat that awaited him. A short ride took him to the nearby support ship, where Captain Lee was waiting for him.
"Come with me to the launch control center. It's those damn Ukrainians," the captain cursed. "They can't agree on where to position the platform for launch. I think they're going to kill one another."
The two men made their way down a flight of stairs and along an interior passageway to the expansive launch control center. As Lee opened a side entry door, a loud staccato of foreign swearing burst upon their ears. At the center of the room, a group of launch engineers were huddled loosely around the two Ukrainian launch specialists, who stood toe-to-toe with their arms in the air, arguing violently with each other. The crowd of engineers parted as Tongju and Lee approached, but the Ukrainians didn't skip a beat. Looking on in disgust, Tongju turned and grabbed a padded console chair, then lifted it over his head and hurled it at the two jabbering engineers. The gathered spectators gasped as the chair flew into the two men, smashing into their heads and chests before ricocheting to the floor with a crash. The stunned Ukrainians finally fell silent as they shook off the blow from the flying chair and turned towards the two men.
"What is the issue here?" Tongju growled.
One of the Ukrainians, a goateed man with shaggy brown hair, cleared his throat before speaking.
"It is the weather. The high-pressure front over the eastern Pacific, specifically off North America, has stalled due to the push from a low-pressure system in the south."
"And what does this mean?"
"The normally prevailing high-altitude easterly winds have in fact reversed, and we are instead facing a strong headwind at the moment. This has thrown off our planned mission flight profile by a considerable margin."
Shuffling through a file of papers, he pulled out a sheaf of algorithmic paper containing numerous calculations and trajectory profiles handwritten in pencil.
"Our base mission plan has been to fuel the Zenit rocket first stage at 50% of capacity, which will produce an estimated downrange flight trajectory of 350 kilometers. Approximately 50 kilometers of this distance is over the target region, where the payload system will be activated. Thus, our planned launch position was 300 kilometers west of Los Angeles, assuming normal local weather patterns. Given the present weather scenario, we have two options. Either wait for the low-pressure front to yield to the prevailing winds, or reposition the launch platform closer to the target."
"There's a third option," the other Ukrainian grumbled irritably. "We can increase the fuel load in the Zenit to reach the target from the original launch position."
As he spoke, his counterpart stood shaking his head silently.
"What is the risk of that?" Tongju asked the doubter.
"Sergei is correct in that we can adjust the fuel load to reach the target from the original launch position. However, I have grave doubts about the accuracy that we would achieve. We do not know the wind conditions for the entire flight trajectory. Given the current unusual weather pattern, the wind conditions along the entire flight path might vary significantly from what we can measure directly above us. The launch vehicle could easily be diverted north or south of the intended target by a large deviation. We could also overshoot the target by tens of kilometers, or alternatively, undershoot the target by a similar degree. There is just too much potential variability in the flight path from this distance."
"A minor risk, compounded by speculation," countered Sergei.
"How long before normal weather patterns return to the area?" asked Tongju. The low-pressure front has already showed signs of weakening. We expect it to collapse over the next day and a half, with the dominant high-pressure system prevailing in approximately 72 hours.
Tongju silently contemplated the arguments for a moment, then made his decision without debate.
We have a timetable to meet. We can ill afford to sit and wait for the weather to change, nor can we risk diluting the target strike. We shall move the platform closer to the target and initiate countdown as soon as possible. How far must we move to mitigate the atmospheric uncertainty?
To minimize the impact of the adverse winds, we must shorten the trajectory. Based on our latest wind measurements, we must position ourselves here, the goateed Ukrainian said, pointing to a map of the North American seaboard. 105 kilometers from the coast.
Tongju studied the position silently for a minute, calculating the added distance to cover. The proposed position was dangerously near the coastline, he observed, noting a pair of offshore islands in close proximity. But they could reach the spot and still launch within Kang's desired time schedule. As all eyes in the room waited for his command, he finally turned and nodded towards Lee.
Alter course at once. We will position both vessels at the new position before dawn and initiate launch countdown at daybreak.